Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who is my neighbor? And what does it mean to be a neighbor? Our specific theme for today talks about followers loving their neighbor. So who really is my neighbor? Well, you have to go to the source of all truth, what 100 American families say. So what does the survey say? Who is my neighbor? Well, maybe it's the person that I casually wave at as I go to get the mail, but I never really talk to them. Maybe it's just the person who lives on the other side of the fence and their grass always looks way better than mine. Or maybe it's the person who never cuts their grass. Who is my neighbor? Maybe it's that person that always seems to blare their music while I'm trying to relax on a Sunday evening. Maybe it's the most famous American neighbor of all, Wilson, the wise old sage who offered philosophical advice from the other side of the fence, but never, no, never revealed his full face. Who is my neighbor and what does it mean to be a neighbor? These are questions that come straight out of our text for today. The first question, who is my neighbor, is asked by a man who is a lot more similar to us than we might like to admit. And the second question, what does it mean to be a neighbor, is the question that Jesus wants us to focus in on as he leads this man to the answers. So in order to do that, Jesus shares with this man a parable. And the plot of this parable is pretty incredible. We see a perfect stranger who loves like a neighbor. So let's look at these two questions. Who is my neighbor and what does it mean to be a neighbor and how this all comes about? So a certain man, an expert in the law, stands up to test Jesus. Now, this was not the only time that somebody came to test Jesus. These experts in the law, they were always asking Jesus these questions. Teacher, teacher, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Teacher, teacher, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? Teacher, teacher, if a woman's husband dies 7 times in a row, who will she be married to in heaven? Jesus was used to these kinds of questions. And so on this occasion, at least the question that the expert in the law asks gets right down to the point. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But even the way this man asked the question reveals a misunderstanding about where he thinks the burden lies. He might as well have said, God, why don't you just give me an easy checklist of all the things that you want me to do, and I'll be sure to have it done by Friday before the weekend, then I'll be set for eternal life. We like those easy checklists, don't we? We like to feel good about the things that we do. Sitting in church this weekend, check. Got my envelope ready for the offering, check. Didn't even yell at my wife or anything this week, check. We like to manufacture our own security. We like to feel good about the things that we do. Well, Jesus was used to these kinds of questions. So he usually answered these questions with a question of his own. Well, Mr. Expert in the law, what is written in the law? How do you read it? This really would have been sort of a cupcake question for this esteemed expert in the law, so at least he knocks this question right out of the park. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, these were passages that God had told them to write on the doorposts above their doors, to talk about when they were coming and going and when they were getting up in the morning and when they were going to sleep. These were passages that this expert would have known like the back of his hand. So at least he gets this one right, and Jesus commends him for it. Bingo, you got it. You have answered correctly. This is even the same response that Jesus gave on another occasion when he was asked a similar question. So Jesus says, do this and you will live. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus certainly was not lying. If you do this perfectly, you will inherit eternal life. Sounds like a pretty easy order, huh? Love God with your whole mind. Love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your strength. If we look at the real checklist of all of God's demands, it should send us scurrying for the door in guilt and embarrassment when we look at what we actually are and what we have done. But sometimes, even the law isn't enough to break through the shell of our hard-headed hearts and convict us. We still stand up to test Jesus as if we've got something to talk about. Jesus, look at this. I think you're really going to like what I've done here. Jesus, I love my neighbor when it's to his face. Never mind about what I say behind his back. Heavenly Father, I love you with all my heart, at least when everybody is watching. Never mind about when nobody is watching. We stand up before God as if we had a chance, and we try to point to our own deeds. So this expert in the law, he continues on, and we're told that he asks another question because he was trying to justify himself. So he asks this question, who is my neighbor? Now, either the expert felt kind of foolish because he had asked a question that he obviously already knew the answer to, and it was a pretty simple question, so now he wants to complicate things a little bit. He wants to point out to Jesus, well, that the law does not specifically say who my neighbor is, or this man actually wants to justify his life by having Jesus tell him exactly who each one of his neighbors is, so he can look down at his life and say, yep, I've loved him, and I've loved him, and I've loved her. Got it. Good to go. Eternal life, here I come. I loved my neighbor. Do you hear those voices in your head and in your heart? As they try and justify, as they try and rationalize everything that you've done. See, as humans, we're always trying to do something to get the most highest thing we could possibly get, eternal life. But the funny thing about us is that we want to get eternal life by doing the absolute bare minimum. We'd much rather define who our neighbor isn't than show love to the people that we meet. We'd much rather have Jesus tell us the exact definition of everything that we should do exactly how he wants it, so that way we dare not have to do anything extra. That's the way this expert in the law's mind worked. And I'd say we're a lot more similar to him than we'd like to admit. So Jesus recognizes that this man needs to have his perception changed, and we also need to have our perception changed about the love that we have in our heart for our neighbor. So Jesus tells this man a parable to change his perception. A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now I can tell you from experience, this is steep, rocky, mountainous terrain. I got to ride a bus down from Jerusalem to somewhere near Jericho every day for 5 days, and it was quite a bus ride. So this is the perfect place for robbers to hide. This is the perfect place for something bad to happen to a man. So this traveler falls into the hands of robbers. He's mugged and beaten and stripped and left for dead. And of all the people to come along, except for maybe a doctor, who better to come along than a priest? So the priest comes along and he sees the man. But now you got to think about all the rules that a priest has. So if a priest is helping a dying man and that man goes and dies, well, then the priest would be unclean for 7 days. Then he'd have to go through this whole process of cleansing rituals, and ugh, what a hassle. Whatever the reason was, the priest passes by. And then comes the Levite down the same row. And who better than a Levite? A Levite was a servant in the temple. He's used to a life of service. Surely he will help out this helpless man. But the Levite too passes by. Maybe he thought, well, the robbers could still be waiting for me. I'd have to carry this man all the way down the road. What a hassle that would be. Or maybe the Levite just had a meeting to get to. He didn't have time for a stop. Whatever the reason, the Levite too passes by, leaving this man to die. And then comes along a Samaritan traveler. Now the Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. There was no love lost between them. Jews looked down their nose at these Samaritan half-breeds with their weird mix of beliefs. There was no way that a Samaritan would help a Jew. Like thinking that a Viking player is going to help a Packer player off the field or vice versa. Not going to happen. So the Samaritan man comes along and he sees this helpless man and he goes over to him and he stoops down and he bandages the man's wounds and he cleans them and he pours his own oil and his own wine on the man. And then he picks him up and he puts him on his animal, and he carries him down to the next inn. And surely this Samaritan has done his duty. He has fulfilled his neighborly service to this man. He's got him to safety. Now he can pass him on to the next person, right? No, this Samaritan stays with the man through the night. And then the next day he goes to the innkeeper, and he pays the man 2 days' wages of his own money to take care of him. And he says, whatever else you need, whatever extra expense you have, you just put it on my tab, and when I return, I will pay you back. This is a man that was going to return to keep on helping this helpless man. This is a perfect stranger showing up out of the blue and showing the love of a neighbor when the man's neighbors pass by. So Jesus brings this parable to a close. Which of these three men was a neighbor to the man that fell into the hands of robbers? Well, the expert in the law can hardly get it wrong. I mean, the parable is so clear. The one who had mercy on him, that's the man who was his neighbor. But did you notice that the expert in the law, he couldn't even bring himself to say that word Samaritan? He only said the one who had mercy on him. That's because the Samaritan certainly would not have been his answer to begin with. The Levite and the priest, they certainly were neighbors to the man going down from Jerusalem, but no way was a Samaritan going to be his neighbor. So we hear Jesus redefine the way that we think about neighbors. Who is our neighbor? It's not some lame definition like the one who lives across the fence from us or the one who shares my heritage. My neighbor is the person that I can show love to, anyone that I come across that has a need that I can meet. That is my neighbor. And the question is no longer, who is my neighbor? Now the question is, who can I be a neighbor to? Who can I show love to? Who can I meet their needs? And then the answer to that question really is, who can't I show love to? Who can't I show love to, especially the people that I wouldn't normally give the time of day to? Especially the people that I look down my nose at. We can show love to everyone. Everyone is our neighbor. Go and do likewise, Jesus tells us. So as we look at this parable, what is it that changes us from the priest and the Levite that walk on by? What is it that changes us from the loveless Levite to the selfless Samaritan? What is it that overcomes our self-righteousness? What is it that overcomes our lovelessness and our coldness? It's the realization that you and I were poor, miserable, not half dead, but fully dead sinners lying there on the side of the road. And as God looked down upon us, he had every right to say, "To hell with you all. Depart into the hell that you deserve for your sins." But our loving Father looked at us, and instead he had compassion. And at great personal cost to himself, he sent his Son across the gulf that separates God from man, and he dealt with us in his mercy. The Son of God came and was born and lived as a stranger to his own people, and he lived among us perfectly. And then he came to us, and he cleansed our sin-stricken bodies. With his own blood, he bandaged our wounds. He picked us up and rescued us. Truly, by his wounds, we are healed. And if all that wasn't enough, if laying down his own life wasn't enough, then he took it up again as he rose from the dead so that he might take care of us forever. Our Savior rose from the dead to bring us poor, miserable sinners back to life. And when we think about just how desperate our condition was and what our Savior did for us, he was truly the perfect stranger that loved like a neighbor. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus was telling a parable to make a point, and it was about a priest and a Levite and a good Samaritan. He was not making some mysterious and mythological comparison to himself as the good Samaritan. But, get the point, Jesus is the ultimate neighbor. He is the one that shows the ultimate love. And so he is the truly perfect stranger that loves like a neighbor. When we look at how desperate our condition was, and what our God has done for us, he has truly done everything for us to inherit eternal life, then our only response is, how can I love you, Lord? How can I thank you? We can thank God by loving him with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our strength and all of our mind, and by loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's how we show the love that thanks God for all that he's done for us. Recently, the storms here in Appleton have brought a great amount of devastation, and I pray that all of you have come out of them okay, and I pray that for the most part, you were spared from the greater parts of the damage. The storm has also brought with it a great opportunity for us to show love to our neighbors. For the most part, the cleanup has passed. For the most part, the damage has already been done and is over, but some people have so much left to rebuild. What can you do as a neighbor to them? To your physical neighbors in your neighborhood, what can you do to your neighbors here in your family at Mount Olive? What can you do in general for your neighbors in all of Appleton? Maybe it just takes walking across the street to ask them if they need anything. That's how we show love for our neighbor. Recently, I was walking down the street in Appleton, in downtown Appleton, with a pastor. And it was before my installation, so it's kind of funny. It's about as close as you can get to a priest and a Levite walking down the street. And so as we were walking, I could see from a distance there was a man, and he was in a wheelchair, and I could see that he only had one leg, and he was starting to come towards us. And I was the one that noticed him first. So I looked, and I saw that he had one leg, and thankfully the pastor that I was with, he turned when he saw him, and he started walking right towards him. Otherwise, my loveless feet might have carried me right on by as I waved. So as we came up to the man, he told us that he was homeless. He told us his name, Stormin' Norman, he said was his name. And he was scruffy, and he was a bit rough, and his language was a bit colorful. But Norman was our neighbor. There I stood and watched as the pastor that I was with shared with Norman the words of eternal life. We didn't have silver or gold to share with him that day, but we had something that was important, something that was all necessary for Norman to have. Norman was our neighbor, and he needed someone to share love with him. He needed someone to tell him of all that God had done for us. So I was so thankful that the other pastor was there that day to do that very thing. Who are your neighbors? Who can you show love to? Everyone around you, if we only open our eyes and see the opportunities. Be a stranger that loves like a neighbor, and when you become their neighbor, then share with them all that God has done for you. Amen.